right before Christmas, middle of the work, the weekday, middle of the morning. I'm glad you guys were all able to make it. I'm Tyler. I'm the pastor here, and we have a don't clap for me, man. I'm here every Sunday. If you like that, man, that's the easy part. it is really exciting. I met Kathy very briefly, but in 2019, which feels like a century ago. Do you remember 2019? Like the good old days, right? You know. Doug Mastriano had brought a heartbeat bill to Harrisburg. He was a brand new senator then. And he had a big press conference, and Kathy was his main speaker there, and she shared her story, which is a powerful one. And I was able to briefly meet her there, and I was like, I don't know who this is, but I'm going to pay attention and follow her on the Facebook and all this, and just been really impressed with her. She's got a woman of great courage, a woman who stands up for what is right. And she was standing up for what's right in this state, you know, before COVID, before there were any political ambitions. She was not in this for politics. And she's a homeschool mother, took her little ones out of the government schools, and went in and started that from scratch on her own. And just a really powerful story here. So I'm really excited for this. We are a church that believes in this. We believe in parental responsibility, parental rights, parental freedoms, and we believe in life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness under God. So it's a real joy here, and I'm really excited to have her. And we're talking, it's on the calendar. We need to nail down a couple details, but to do a town hall event here coming up in January, the 22nd, with Kathy and hopefully Doug. He says he's interested, but we haven't nailed him down yet. Anyway, you can come back for that as well. That'll be town hall oriented, more adult question and answer kind of stuff. But I'm very excited for that. Let me pray here for Kathy, and then Kathy, you can come up and tell us everything there is to know. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Kathy. We thank you for her courage. We thank you for her stand for what is right. Lord, we thank you for the way she has raised her family. We thank you for the way that you have raised her up, the great purposes you have in her life, protecting her from birth to this very day. We thank you. Lord, we pray a blessing on her. Lord, bless her, give her great discernment and wisdom, and give her great courage as she travels around, faces attacks, faces accusations, as she has to stand and say what is right on the spot. From all directions, Lord, bless her. Lord, we pray a blessing on this morning today. I thank you for this group assembled here together, and I pray that you would be in our midst, that you would bless us, that we'd be able to learn from Kathy and learn how to support and pray for her, and that this would be an event that gives you glory and builds us up together. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Kathy. And you guys, you don't have to sit all like on the fringes and stuff. You know, like this is... On Sundays, we have a children's time. We have them run in and fill in the front couple rows here. But you can do that, guys. Come on in. Look at all this. Yeah. The back row is off limits. If you're in the back, no. Back row's off. Yeah. Come on, Jamie's guy. Somebody's got to take the lead, right, Jamie? Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I don't know if I wanted these particular guys to come this close, but I guess I said it, so there it is. Yep. And hey, guys, there are, Pat is waving at me, and I forgot to say this, I told him I would, but this is a sign-up for direct contact with Kathy Barnett, with her campaign, when she's coming to town, when she writes an article on Fox, when she appears on here or there. I'm on her email list. It's not spam. It's always good stuff. I love it. It's one of the only emails that I don't mind getting that, you know, on a listserv. So I'm going to put this right on the table there, but make sure you sign up there. And I also have these basic contact cards and where she stands, platform kind of stuff. I'm going to put this right over here. But praise the Lord. Welcome, Kathy, here. That means clap.
Pastor, thank you so much for bringing me here. Absolutely. I appreciate that. Did you reach out to my team?
Yes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, because that's what it's about. No one is going to give our country back to us. Sorry, if you thought that was going to happen. We're going to have to pry it out of people's hands. And I am now hanging out with virtually all of our leaders, statewide, national. And there is no grand plan. There are some good ones, so pray for those. But there are a lot of people who have power and influence. They're just not willing to use it on us. They're reserving it for themselves for the next rung on their own economic ladder. And that's a very sad reality. Especially one like myself, very optimistic. I love that when I walked in, the first thing my eyes caught, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is amazing. And I, you know, just talking a little bit about myself, I know that to be true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. There is no shade in him. There are no shadows in him. He's a good God. And yet we're living in some very crazy times. I think back to 2019, and truly, those were the good old days. We were all living high on the hog. We were living our best lives and had no idea of the chaos that would be coming. But these people are very determined. They're very focused. 2019, I was in my fifth or sixth year of homeschooling my children. I had homeschooled my daughter since she was in kindergarten. I had homeschooled my son since he was in third grade. I would have never thought I would be homeschooling my kids. I was one of those parents who was looking forward to that little yellow bus pulling off every day from 8 to 3 p.m. so I could have my own life. I was doing my own things. And so when that became a reality for me, I was shocked. I didn't know I knew anyone who homeschooled. Homeschool people at the time keep it silent. Like, they don't really share. So you don't even know. At that time, I didn't know. I knew a lot of homeschooling families. But it became quite obvious. The pastor asked me to tell you about a little bit about that. But my daughter had just started kindergarten. And, you know, they come home with that package of information, and I'm just kind of one day thumbing through it. And I noticed that my five-year-old had a guidance counselor. There was a guidance counselor form in her stack. And I started thinking, what does my five-year-old have a guidance counselor for? Like, what is, I remember when I had a guidance counselor when I was in high school. They talked to me about what college I wanted to go to. Do I want to take the ACT or the SAT? But I'm like, my baby's in kindergarten. So what is a guidance counselor talking to my five-year-old about? And so I found the number or the email address to the guidance counselor, and I emailed her asking her to send me her teaching objectives. And it was 35 of the most ridiculous things, right? One for each week that they were going to focus on. They spend 2 days a week with our children. And here's a newsflash. They do it all throughout the state of Pennsylvania. All throughout the state of Pennsylvania, right? But at the time, I had no idea. But 35 of the most ridiculous thing. Number five was teaching my five-year-old how to distinguish between a lie and the truth. And I was thinking to myself, most adults I know can't distinguish between a lie and the truth. So what rubrics is she using to stand in front of my five-year-old as an authority on how to distinguish and make that distinction? Number 35 was going to come home with the permission slip because they were going to teach my five-year-old daughter about her anatomy and boys' anatomies and how they work, right? And number 15 was about teaching my daughter how to recognize and respect different family configurations. Buzzword for it, the LGBTQ agenda. So I set up an appointment, I go in, and I sit down, and I say, show me what you're going to take into my five-year-old daughter's room to teach her how to recognize and respect different family configurations. And it was these beautifully illustrated little books about Billy went to his father's house and his father's boyfriend Henry was home, or Sally with her two moms, or somebody with a divorce or something like that. And this, at this moment, I am not thinking I'm going to be in politics at all. I really don't even like politicians, so this has been very hard for me. But I was always very thoughtful and deliberate. I would download policies like date night because I wanted to know what those who were in charge, our leaders, were doing. So I was always mindful of that. I don't even think I was on, I wasn't on Fox News at the time. I'm just paying attention, right? And recognizing that there is a right and a wrong. And so anyway, I'm sitting in front of this counselor, and I can tell by looking at her, a nice person, but I can tell by looking at her that she would never have the nerve or the courage to come and have this conversation with me as an adult, right? And I take offense to that because I do have the courage to do that. And it's not easy, right? So my first thought was, I take offense that you would go, and I'm talking to her, that you would go and stand in front of my five-year-old as though you're a subject matter expert, when I can tell by your demeanor you would never approach me and have this conversation with me, right? So you're pretending to have courage that I can tell you really don't have. You would never approach me as an adult and have this conversation. But yet, when parents are not around, you're going in and having these conversations with my babies as if it's settled science and this is just the way it is. And then, you know, this conversation goes back and forth. She's very polite. She says she had been teaching this for 8 years and no parent had ever challenged her on it. She seemed genuinely like a nice person who had no idea that anyone would take offense to her teaching this. This was her job. She was given this material and she's just executing it. So then she gives me all 35 books that she's going to go in and teach the kids, and she says, read through them, and if you see anything that is a red flag, point it out to me and I won't teach it. And I walk out calling my husband saying, see, this is why God brought me here. He brought me here to help these people to understand. So I'm feeling really good about myself. And I go home, maybe 2 days later, my third grader comes in and says, Mom, what's a stepmom? He's 8, and I'm like, why? And he begins to tell me how his teacher, who is divorced, was talking about his divorce and how his kids came and his new wife is there and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, I tell my son, you know, a stepmom is just someone who sits on the steps. He didn't believe me. He was like, really? I was like, yeah, she just sits on the steps. But then I called the teacher, and I began to explain to him that my son have parents, have a mom and a dad. And when we send them to school, his job is to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, throw in some civics, some social studies, and then send my babies back to me. And my husband and I will parent my children, our children. I'm not looking for him to be a parent, right? Because that's what the social worker, not the social worker, the guidance counselor is. They come alongside parents to help parent our children. And I explained the same thing to her. My children don't need you as a parent. They have parents who have come together and have decided what kind of home we want and how we're going to dedicate ourselves to raise our kids according to our values, right? So as I'm talking to this teacher about how inappropriate it is, I asked him, what would make you have this conversation? He begins to tell me how someone asked him, hey, Mr. Whoever, what did you do this weekend? Which then led him down this long path. I'm like, that's the equivalent of children saying, hey, mommy, where do babies come from? And then I pull out, you know, a map and start explaining to them the anatomy of a woman. That's too much information. They're not asking you for all of that, right? What did you do? But he begins to tell me about, well, you know, Miss Barnett, I'm Jewish. And sometimes kids ask me questions about, because he's teaching social studies, ask him questions about, you know, something with history as it relates to Judaism. And he says, so sometimes I do share my life, because I was questioning him about sharing his personal life with my children. He said, well, there are other times when I do. And I said, well, Mr. Whoever, I'm black. So I can talk about black history and black culture and all of that. But there's no right or wrong. There's no moral question about being Jewish or not. And there's no moral question about being black or not. But there is a moral question about getting a divorce or not, right? Generally, people don't walk down the aisle thinking, tomorrow I'm going to plan for my divorce, right? Generally. Divorce happens, I have no judgment about that, except for when you come and try to teach it to my children, right? I think that's something parents should do, right? There's no judgment. However you want to live your life, this is America. We don't throw people off tops of buildings like they do in Iran if they don't have the lifestyle that we have. You like it, I love it. Go live your life, right? That's between you and your God, whatever that may be. But for me and my house, right? And what one of the things I realized very early on is that people will use the Constitution for them, to benefit them, to protect them and their values. But then all of a sudden, it's not supposed to extend to you. But the same Constitution that protects you also protects me, right? And so I find myself having that conversation quite often. And then as I'm having this conversation with this particular teacher, my third grader's teacher, a light bulb went off. And it was, I'm going to do one or two things. Either I'm about to become a thorn in these people's side, constantly up there, spending my energy and my wills, trying to force a different way of view on them, or I could just take my kids out of school. Amen. And that was on a Friday. Monday, I took them out of school. Tuesday, we're sitting at the kitchen table, and I'm like, okay, now what, Lord? No idea. No idea, but I had a large social media following. And so I just put it out there, say, I'm homeschooling my kids. I have no idea what I'm doing. And these moms from all over the state and fathers started texting and DMing me. And one lady, I'd never met her before, in Texas, found a classical conversation school or group in my neighborhood, because you can see that on Facebook, and set up an appointment for me on Thursday. By that Thursday, so Monday, I unenrolled them. Tuesday, I'm like, what in the world did I just do? Thursday, we had joined our first homeschooling group, and that was 6 years down to make, 6 years later, I was homeschooling them when I met you. And it was just amazing. I would have never planned that. I had completely different plans for my life, but God has something else in mind. And now looking back on that time that I spent with my children, I'm so very grateful to God. It not only does homeschooling redeem your own education or lack thereof, because you have to learn right along with your kids. And if you know about my book, I wrote that book. Who's in classical conversation? Yeah. Are you guys in essentials yet? I literally tried to hire someone to take that class with my son for me. I wanted nothing to do with that. But that's not how classical conversation works. So I was forced for about 5 years of taking this, right? And so I was able to write my book with very few edits from my publisher because of classical conversation and essential. When I was writing my book, I had that, you know, like all of those, you know, like the list that, you know, of, I don't know, I can't even think of it now, but you know the list that I'm talking about. Chart A, chart B, all of those different charts. It was just amazing. But perhaps one of the greatest benefits that I see coming out of homeschooling my children is I believe it made me a better parent. It made me a more in tune parent on how God has wired my own children. and what my call is. By the time I met you in 2019, I had no intentions of running for public office at all. But again, but God. Had no intentions of sharing my own personal story. But again, but God, and the manner in which he works. It's just been quite amazing to see. And now I'm doing this. Would have never thought I would be running for U.S. Senate and kicking behind while doing it. Doing it very well by the grace of God. I would have never thought I would be doing that. But God, right? At the very, you know, he says, you know, before the foundation of the world, I saw you. I predestined you. I set you apart. And I called you out at the right moment, right? And he has a purpose and a plan. Talks about that, right? That when I was in my mother's womb, he was forming me, wiring me in the manner in which he has. And what I have learned during this process, I mean, this is perhaps, I've been saved since the age of 19, like really saved. I grew up in the church, but really saved. Since the age of 19, I know I look like I'm 20, but spent some time. Couple of decades, and I have never had to trust him in the way that I am learning to trust him now. And if you know anything about my story, I mean, I've had a lot of obstacles to overcome, and I have never in my life have had to trust him in the manner in which I am today. This is very uncomfortable. I have not been comfortable since I stepped out and started doing this. And yet, there is nowhere else I'd rather be. I can see so clearly how everything in my life has led me to this moment. And God knows. I have no idea how this is going to turn out. But I see him opening up doors. And I would have never thought, right? Being a homeschool mom, staying at home, cooking and cleaning, and yet reading and watching and paying attention and just seeking what it is. Why am I here? What have you? What do you want me to do? Feeling a burden of some sort, but not being able to articulate it. And yet on this side of things, recognizing all along he had a plan. He is amazing. And to be walking in your purpose, it's very unnerving, like I said, and yet he has been very faithful. So I'm very excited about that. Very excited to see what he does. I believe our nation is in trouble. I believe we probably have less than a year to get this thing right. My book today that I submitted right after I met you, in Harrisburg, I submitted it a couple of months later to my publisher. It is now reading like prophecy, and I am no prophet. But it doesn't take a rocket science to be able to read the tea leaves, to be able to look and see what is going on and what is about to happen. I mean, you're reading my book. I called it like, this is what's about to happen, people. Get your head out of the sand, right? Pray and do, you know, especially on our side, you know, our people love to say, well, I'm going to pray for you. Great. Can you donate to? Can you volunteer? Can you knock on some doors? Can you get active, right? This is a battle. It's a battle. I believe it's a spiritual battle, first and foremost. Daniel chapter 9 comes to mind. And yet at the same time, he was active. He was involved in doing. It's not enough to simply sit and pray all day. We got to pray. I remember when I was pregnant and a family pastor said to me, Kathy, you're going to have to learn how to walk and talk with the Lord, right? Like those long Bible studies before the Lord. I'm going to have to learn how to walk and do this at the same time, right? Running behind children, right? And all the other things that you're going to have to do. That is something I believe our side has not really taught us how to do effectively. They have not taught us how to fight, right? So we're in the middle of a street fight and we have no clue what to do. We don't know if we swing or if we just stop and pray or what we do, right? And yet on their side, you know, I don't know if y'all know, what is her name? Maxine Waters, thank you. I always forget this lady's name. I have a nickname for her. That's why I forget it, so I always have to pause so I don't say the nickname. Maxine Waters, what did she say? Wherever you see them, make them feel uncomfortable. Push back on them, get in their face, right? Their side has taught their people that if you want to effect change, lock arms and create a human chain across 5 lanes of traffic. How many of y'all gonna do that? Yeah, exactly. Because one, we don't want to get hit. 2, we got a job to go to, right? 3, we don't have George Soros giving us money, right? Kamala Harris is not going to create a bailout fund for us, right? We have over 100 people still in prison who haven't even been charged because they were on January 6th, right? Who on our side is even talking about those people who are languishing in prison? And I don't care whether you believe it was justified or unjustified. That's just not how our system works. That's just not how it works. And if we become comfortable with people creating different precedents based on how you think, because back in the day, do y'all know my story? A little bit about my story. I grew up on a pig farm in southern Alabama. I grew up very impoverished. I grew up underneath the bottom rung of the economic ladder. I grew up in a home with no insulation, no running water, an outhouse in the back, and a well on the side. I mean, we were so poor, we couldn't afford the other O. We were just po. And I mean, but when you're a child and you're loved, you don't know how dire your situation is, right? But as an adult, I can look back and I'm like, Jesus. I remember my grandmother asking me to help her in the garden, and I thought she wanted to spend quality time with me. But it wasn't until I grew up that I realized that in large part, that was for our survival. If we wanted beans or greens or potatoes, there was no Giant or Walmart we can go. We had to go grow that, right? I remember them waking up early, going to bed late. I remember sitting in the front seat of the truck with my grandfather. He would slaughter a hog, and then we would go from family to family in our little community, sharing a portion of our wealth, right? So I grew up watching the adults in my life wake up early, go to bed late. I was literally up this morning at 2 a.m. I don't even know why. I've been up since 2 a.m. So much to do. Wake up early, go to bed late. I watched them work really hard. I watched them take care of their family. I felt very loved as a child. I saw them taking care of their community. What I never saw anyone do, and I don't recall anyone ever looking at me and calling me a victim. I don't remember anyone looking at me and saying, Kathy, because you're black, because you're a woman, because you're poor, because you're this, that, and the third, all the odds are against you. And I grew up in the very deep South. And when I say deep, I mean deep. One stop sign town. You wouldn't even know it. If you blink, you done went past it, right? But no one ever told me that. That house I told you about, my great-great-great-grandmother Rhoda grew up in that home. She was a slave. I have the blood of slaves coursing through my veins. So if anybody wanted to scream victim, my family certainly could have. But I never saw that. And as a result, I became the first in my family to go and finish college. I spent 10 years in the U.S. military, where I was accepted into officer candidacy school. I spent time in the I love it. I enjoy all my time there. I mean, I absolutely enjoyed it. I spent time in the financial industry working with 2 major financial firms, A.G. Edwards & Sons and Bank of America Capital Asset Management, analyzing hundreds of companies. I know exactly what causes those little line items to go up and down. And incentivizing people not to work is not one of the ways to grow a business or an economy, right? Spent time in the comptroller's department at JCPenney, headquartered in Plano, Texas. I'm an adjunct professor of corporate finance. Authored my first book that went number 1 last year. Yay! On Amazon. When everything else got shut down, Amazon. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Political commentator, homeschooled my kids, a lot of different journeys in between. And now I'm running for U.S. Senate. Only in America. Only in America do you hear that story. Time and time again. The nuances may be different, right? But only in America do you hear that story time and time again. This is the greatest country that has ever existed. But she is in trouble. She is struggling. And no one has a plan. That should start waking y'all up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm waking up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. My team will attest. I'm texting people. A long list of stuff y'all need to do when you finally wake up, right? It should make you unnerved. I mean, I remember someone saying, if you knew what I knew. These people are not playing. CC kids. Where are my CC kids? What is 1776? Yes! Only homeschool kids know that. I went into 1787. Who knows what that is? We wrote that Constitution. Remember that? I'm rereading Hamilton right now. If y'all like to read Alexander Hamilton, that's a wonderful book. And plus, it is that time period of the Revolution is exact. So many similarities to where we find ourselves. People haven't really changed that much either. Same type of people, right? And a small group of very committed people. We don't need everyone. We just need a small group of committed people who are awake. And if anyone should be awake, it should be believers, right? And yet, I find that typically isn't the case. Typically not the case, right? Very discouraging. But I went to Penn State University, and they invited me to speak as a veteran about the U.S. Constitution. And when I walked in, Christian looks up. It's his favorite story. They wanted me to wear, y'all know Penn State, very liberal, right? Y'all know that? No?
Yes.
Very. Extremely. They wanted me to wear a mask, and I was like, well, I'll think about it. And so as we're driving there, we're driving, we see people, no one around them, and they're walking around with a mask on. Like, no one is, people driving in cars with masks on, and there's nobody in the car, right? I'm like, oh my God, these people are really serious about this. I was like, well, I'm thinking about it. And then when I get there, and as I'm walking in, the guy who meets me to take me in to where all the professors are, he was like, well, you got to wear a mask. I was like, yeah, I've been thinking about that. And then I just walked right on in. Like, I thought about it. I think I'm not going to do that. I'm over this, right? And then as I get in there, and I begin to explain that I'm not going, how are you going to invite me to come and talk about the Constitution and then require me to infringe upon my rights? So then I walk in, and I'm talking to these professors who know everything. You only have to ask them. They'll tell you. And I'm talking, and I begin to ask them, what are the first five rights in the First Amendment? Who in here knows what the first five rights are? Yes. What are they? In the First Amendment, there are five rights in the First Amendment. Freedom of speech. Where are we? Freedom of religion. Freedom of assembly. Freedom of the press. Freedom to petition your government with grievances. And so I'm asking these enlightened professors who know everything, what are the first five rights in the First Amendment? Crickets. So then I get to be a little bit dramatic. I love debating liberals. Relieves a tremendous amount of stress. So now I get to be a little exaggerated with, like, you don't know what the first five. I was like, you know what? I'm going to just pause, and I'm going to just give you time to think about that. So I pause, and I'm looking. Like, really, no one knows what the did I not do that? You don't know what the first five rights are? And then I'm like, but it's you people who want, I love that, my favorite phrase, you people. You people want to, you're constantly telling us you want to reimagine the Constitution. How are you going to reimagine something you've never read? You don't know anything about. How foolish of you. What silly little people we have running our country, teaching our children, and winning. Again, that should make the hair on your neck stand up. They're winning. They have everything they need to fundamentally change this country. Everything. It's just by the grace of God. They are working on H.R. 1, H.R. 4, both of those federalize the government elections, take it out of local state, move it up to federal. Statehood for D.C., Puerto Rico, and this Senate seat. And they don't need all five of those things for game over. They just need one. We got to get real serious. The greatest nation has come down to one decision. And it's been on our watch. We love quoting our founding fathers. Spent a lot of time in CC talking about our founding fathers. Guess what? Our founding fathers are dead. They did what they were to do when it was on their watch to do it. And now the greatest nation that has ever existed is on our watch. And we're about to lose. It has come down to one decision. Any one of those five. They don't need all. They just need one of those five. And it's game over. And if you think you feel pressured now, they're about to start forcing us to jab our perfectly healthy children with an experimental vaccine. That is about to happen. It's about to happen. Look at what they've done just in 2 years. Freedom of speech. Go out on Facebook and say something. See what happens to your account. You will get deplatformed. You will get censored. The algorithms start suddenly ghosting you, right? You can't, people can't see you any longer all of a sudden, right? They will start taking your followers away. Have you heard of that? Purging your list of people who follow you. Social media is now the number one tool in which we express ourselves, right? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. I remember last year, churches closed, and then people said, okay, well, maybe we can't come into the building, but we can all drive up in our cars, and we'll stay in our cars with our family and not, you know, mingle with others. And Governor Wolf said, if you do that, I am going to send health workers and they will write down your license plate and we will visit you at your home. People were intimidated and they didn't do it. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble and to petition your government. Do I need to talk about January 6th? Do we need to talk about that? And then freedom of the press, I thought, surely that's a sacred cow to these people. And then I saw Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago say, I will only allow black and brown people to interview me. Like, when did that happen? When do you as a politician get to choose who get to... Now, I get to choose because I am not elected yet. But when you are elected, when have we ever seen someone say, you're white. I don't want you to interview me. You look brown, so you can interview me. Right? I know. Be happy. We are moving through the Constitution like a whale moves through a net. And I am here to tell you, our country does not exist apart from the U.S. Constitution. I used to ask my students, what makes America so great? And they will always start off with themselves. And I'm like, no, it's not about you. I know your mama thinks it's about you, but it's not about you. It's the U.S. Constitution. There's nothing spectacular about any of us from anyone else in the world. It's the U.S. Constitution and those Bill of Rights that acknowledges there is a supreme being who has endowed us with certain inalienable rights that cannot be separated or infringed upon. No one had that at the time our founders, Alexander Hamilton, Madison, came up with that, right? Completely unheard of. That is the only thing that separates us from the animals in this world. But we have allowed these people to move through it like a whale moves through a net. I'm going to close with this and open it up to questions. But John Adams said, our Constitution is only made for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for any other kind. Moral simply meaning people who know the difference between right and wrong. Right? Who know that there is such a thing as biology. That there is such a difference. Can all the little boys raise their hand? Little boys. Okay, put your hands down. All the little girls, can you raise your hand? Little girls, biology. Well, we now live in a culture where most of us, like, oh, I just want to be tolerant. I don't want anybody to look at me crazy, you know. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't make you feel uncomfortable just recognizing biology, that there is such a thing as biological reality, right? All of a sudden, that's offensive, and we have ceded the ground. He said our Constitution is made only for moral, people who know there is a difference between right and wrong. It is wholly inadequate for any other kind of people, right? He said, I'm paraphrasing this part, he said, when our nation becomes so filled with people, he called it unwarranted chivalry, people who are tolerant for no reason at all. And haven't we become a nation tolerant of some of the most intolerable behaviors, like jab your perfectly healthy babies with an experimental vaccine? And if you don't like it, shut up, sit down and do it. Are we going to fire you? Are we going to come to your home? I was talking to a friend last night in the Cumberland area. She was like, I am here. They're about to take people's children away from them because of COVID. These people are not playing with you. There is no little bubble you can stick your head in any longer. They have removed their mask. Do you teach the book of Revelations? Start teaching it. I don't think we're end times. I don't know. But it's not a far cry from how someone is able to coalesce so much power. But John Adams said, when our nation becomes so filled with people who are tolerant for no reason at all, unwarranted chivalry, there is no reason for you to be so chivalrous. When our nation becomes filled with people like that, he said, we will begin to move through the Constitution like a whale moves through a net. And that is exactly where we are. And I am here to tell you our nation doesn't exist apart from the Constitution. And this thing is about to happen. It's happening. It's about to get really real, especially as we enter into next year. So, I hope you are sufficiently freaked out. Very aware. Pay attention. I'm going to pause and open it up to questions. Now, yeah, I'm about to say, CC, I know y'all teach them about asking questions. We did that a lot. How old are you? Yes. 15. I love it. So you are in 10th grade? Probably. The equivalent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I'm sorry? Challenge one. Yes. Yes, sir.
So, how did those Penn State professors respond to your truth bombs?
How did they respond to me?
A lot of sour faces, but they saw the problem of operating within an echo chamber where no one actually challenged them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I love going to universities. If y'all know some and can get me into some, I love it. We went to Eastern University. They tried, the professors, to push back. But it's, you know, it's a failure, right? I don't operate in emotions. We're going to talk about some facts. I'm going to bring my figures, right? And I mean, our values are the superior values. We walk around pretending that we're all equal. No, all values are not equal. Some values are better than other values. Some values are more inferior than other values. We need to get real clear. These people will never like you. So if you think you're going to ride the middle way, what is that? The last letter to the church in chapter 3 of Revelation? Lukewarm. What did Jesus say? Out of all the other churches, he wrote a letter to, wrote 7. And out of all the other churches, he's like, hey, my name is whatever their need was. Whatever their need was, that was his name. It was written like a letter. So the opening, hi, my name is whatever your need is, right? And then he will always encourage them and say, you know what? You're doing so fabulous in this. And then he would say, now, but this is what I have fault with you on. Only 2 churches he didn't do that with, right? But the other 4, he was like, you know, you need to work on this. And for those who have an ear to hear, if you overcome, then these are the rewards that I have for you, right? And then he gets to the last one, Pastor. What did he say?
Laodicea.
You want to read it? I don't have my glasses.
Yeah. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth.
You make me sick to my stomach. No, keep going. You know, I'm black. This is what we do in black churches. So we editorize as you speak.
You say, I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. And not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich in white garments, so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see.
Now, from chapter 2 to 3, just take a look at those 7 churches. Every single church, he starts off with, hey, how you doing? My name is whatever your need is, right? That's how he introduced himself. And then he immediately starts off with, you are so amazing at this thing that you do all the time. I mean, just splendid. You just keep doing what you're doing. Is that like parenting 101? Before I critique you, let me just tell you how amazing you are, right? And then he said, however, you know, you really need to work on this right here. And if you do this, if you have an ear to hear, then I will bless you. I have some rewards for you. Every letter until he get to, what is it?
Laodicea.
I can't even say it. Until he gets to that church. And he starts off right out the box, right out the gate. You make me sick to my stomach. You disgust me. You're not hot nor cold. You lukewarm. The sight of you makes me sick. Strong words. And he did not end it with, if you have an ear to hear and will listen to me. Those 7 churches, a commentator says, are the 7 types of people and the 7 types of Christians. Which one are you? Take a look at those 7 churches. Right? We have an obligation. If anyone has an obligation, if anyone should be running for office, it should be us. But we have created a vacuum because, you know, I'm just going to leave that to the world. We've created a vacuum. And as a result, some of the most desperate individuals have filled that role. And this is the reason why we are living under these crazy times. If anyone should be running for office, I shouldn't be the only Christian. We should be running for office, right? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
No.
You have plenty to do. But it's very much in keeping, if you want to get to it sometime, it's very much in keeping with what you're saying, that God has designated certain jobs for the civil authority. He's designated certain jobs for the church, and he's designated certain jobs for the family. And if you can think of the kind of the Venn diagram, you get some circles, and some of them overlap a little bit. But there are designated jobs for each of those spheres, and when either one sphere starts to approach one another, or one of those spheres starts to abandon the responsibilities, as I believe the church and the families have done, that's where the government has been encroaching and stepping in into areas, moral areas, yeah, where they should not be. But it's very much in keeping with the thing.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions or thoughts? Yes, sir.
What was your MOS?
Started off as a 71 Lima and then moved over into the financial side of things. That's my leaning anyway. My first station was with the CID, the criminal investigation, so kind of like the MP, but like the FBI of the MP. I loved all of it. I was reserved the entire time, so I bounced around as I moved around in different places. Yeah, but my first station was in California. Yes, absolutely loved it, every aspect of it. Yeah, I remember getting ready to graduate from boot camp and walking in Fort Dix, New Jersey, and I had the epiphany. They could send me off to war and I could die. Should have had that epiphany before I signed up, but better late than never, as I always say. But it started me down the path of reading about all of our founding fathers. I started at that moment that if I could potentially lose my life for this country, I need to begin to understand what exactly could I be losing my life for, right? I took that very seriously. I love living. And I wasn't going to school, going to the military. Most people go in because, you know, it's like something their family does. It was strictly because I needed money for college, right? I was very poor. And yet I believe God had called me to go to college, but now how am I going to pay for that? And so now as I began to realize the commitment I had made, maybe I need to understand what it is I could be potentially laying my life down for. And that started me with reading one substantive book about each of our founding fathers, which has led me to read about a lot of our other leaders and influencers. So again, I know the good, the bad. I've researched the downright ugly things that have taken place in this country. And yet I come out on the other side recognizing that this is the greatest country that has ever existed, right? And we need to fight for her with everything within us. And that is what we're doing. We just spent over 1,000 miles last week, Monday through Thursday, just going from Jefferson County, Cambria, Blair, Washington, Pittsburgh, or Allegheny, right? That's a lot of time away from my children who just last year had unlimited access to me. That's a huge sacrifice and one that creates a lump in my throat quite often, and yet recognizing the call and praying to God that it is not for nothing, that people will do their part. I need finances. I cannot write a check to myself for $3 million, and if I could, I wouldn't. Just tell you that right now. That sounds real crazy to me, coming from a pig farm. Now you want me to this isn't my country alone. This is our country, and our people got to learn how to fight, how to get engaged. I need a whole lot. So my team is going to walk around, show you guys how to use those QR codes. You probably know how to use a QR code, don't you? You're a teenager. It's like part of the manual of being a teenager. They pick up on technology so quickly, but QR codes are everything. I need you to go to my website. I need you to sign to subscribe to my newsletter. You need to know what I'm doing. You need to know when I'm asking you to do something and what to do it. If you're waiting for someone to come in and do the heavy lifting, you will get it. You will get it in the likes of some very wealthy people who think they can just buy this seat, get into office, and then treat you like a nuisance, which is basically what we've been living under already. They would treat you like irrelevant and like a nuisance to them. If you want someone who will actually fight for you, then you need to start fighting.
I'm gonna get this thing on. I think it works, yeah. Thank you. Hey, I want to share just personally. I am not somebody that donates to political campaigns. Kathy is the only one I've donated to. She's worth it. I maybe should do more. I don't know, but
yes.
You probably should. I don't know. I mean, more. There's other people too. Doug comes to mind, but she's right. If Jesus tells us that we're the light of the world and we're the salt of the earth. And he says, if you're the light of the world, you don't go hide in the corner under a box. And if you're the salt of the earth and you lose your saltiness, you're of no use and you're going to be thrown out and trampled upon. And I'm tired of being trampled upon. And you see it coming. So if you're being trampled upon, if you see the march to stomp on basic Christianity assembling together, and you see that happening, you're sick of being trampled upon and you don't want more of it, then get salty. That's what Jesus would say. That's what he said. That means if Christians aren't running for office, it means non-Christians will. If people, if a moral and upright and religious people, like John Adams said, don't get involved, then only immoral, irreligious people will be left. And they will be the ones involved. And then you will get what we're getting. So we need to be salt of the earth. And it was funny you shared this, Kathy, back during the shutdown times. Our church, it was right before Easter, of course. It almost seemed intentional. We stayed open. We went to two services. We went down to like five people in here. And then we did a parking lot service like that. And there was an actual governor's order saying that they were going to go around looking for license plates. And our local sheriff and our local guys said, we're not doing that. Do what you want to do. And all you guys, I mean, so many people piled into our parking lot. It was crazy. There are people out there. And then we reopened and said, would come inside. And it's been growing ever since. There are godly people, salt of the earth people out there. And the more you start standing up, the more you start recognizing other people standing up. And, hey, I've got a good network of friends now just by standing up. So have courage. Do the courageous thing. Stand up. Look around. Notice who else is standing up. And then let's get together and lock arms. And I really appreciate Kathy doing this. I mean, I can't. Can you imagine running for Senate, like, across the state? It's a big state, yeah. and the kind of fire that you take for that, can we pray? Kathy, can you come up here? I just want to put my hand on your shoulder and pray over you together here. And just agree together with us here, guys, as I pray for her. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Kathy. I thank you for making her such a bold, courageous, and strong woman who loves you, who loves your people, who loves this great nation that you have your fingerprint on. Lord, I thank you for her. Lord, thank you for her courage and bless her. Lord, multiply her courage. Give her, if she's up at 2 in the morning, Lord, inspire her. Fill her. Fill her with a great joy and a hope that comes from you to fight this fight. And Lord, bless her, surround her with more and more people that are standing together to make this happen. And Lord, we pray that over the churches, over your people, your people, whether they're in a church building or where they are, your people, we know there's a lot. We know you have a remnant saved in this state and all over the world. And Lord, I pray that you would inspire your people to stand up, that they would see Kathy, that they would see others like Kathy in their local communities that stand up. And Lord, that you would build up a lot more. Lord, build up your remnant. Wake up your church. Wake up your people and call people out of whatever blindness and darkness they're living in, that they would stand up. And we pray over Kathy and her campaign. Lord, give her energy. Give her people that work for her, that volunteer for her, give them energy. Lord, we pray for the finances to come in and to wake people up and to be able to contribute to these things. But above and beyond that, Lord, we pray that righteousness would prevail here, that the thread that we hang on, that's just your direct grace. We thank you for it. And we pray for Kathy and the others that are going to stand up and do the right thing to turn that thread back into the cable it's meant to be, to make this nation a free nation that gives you glory, that honors you, where righteousness, where people can stand for what is right and without fear of censorship or threats or anything else. Lord, bless her and her family as they all make this sacrifice together. Lord, fill her with your Holy Spirit. Overflow her with your Holy Spirit. To strengthen her, give her courage and boldness and wisdom and discernment in every situation that she walks into. And Lord, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you want to just have let people meet you personally? Yeah. Yeah. Finish out the official whatever public gathering it is. But if you want to go talk to Kathy and introduce yourself and get to know her a little bit, feel free here. Praise the Lord. I'm really excited and thank you guys for coming. Praise the Lord.